speaking today with Anna Eastman, who is running for re-election on the HISD Board of Trustees, District 1. Anna, thank you for talking to me today. You are serving your first term on HISD. You're actually now serving as the board president this year. Has the experience been what you thought it would be when you first ran 4 years ago?
I have to say, serving on school board is like having a baby or learning how to ride a bike, that people can tell you what it's going to be like, but until you're in the midst of doing the work, you will never know. I think there have been all kinds of challenges and roadblocks and complications about the work that I don't think I could have ever expected or understood until I was in the midst of it.
Well, look back on the time that you've served, and what would you say have been your main accomplishments, the things you're most proud of so far?
I'm really proud of the work the board has done to update and elevate our ethics policy. That was work that specifically is something I never expected I would have been doing when I ran for office 4 years ago. And it was tough work. I think we did a really rigorous job of looking at other model school districts that have pretty high standards around ethics and how their procurement functions work and how influence can play into the job of a trustee. And I don't think that work is finished, but really proud of the work I did with other colleagues to get those things passed. I'm proud of the efforts we've made on behalf of teacher quality. Again, I don't think that work is finished. Every step and every project or initiative we undertake is as complicated as the 13,000 teachers and subsequently 200,000 kids that it affects. So I'm very proud of those two things. I'm proud of our fully inclusive non-discrimination policy that protects both kids and employees, and of the work that we've done as a board in a time when we haven't all been fully aligned.
Well, talking about that, I mean, the alignment seems to be those that are aligned with Superintendent Greer and those that are more critical of him, and you generally fall into the latter group. You know, let's talk about that. What are your feelings about Superintendent Greer these days? How good a job is he doing?
Right. I think it's a really interesting subject, because obviously one of the greatest powers the board has is to hire and fire and manage the superintendent. He's the only person in the organization that we really have the authority or discretion officially to manage. And Dr. Greer is certainly a lightning rod. I think he is a take-no-prisoners kind of leader. When he believes in something, he is willing to do whatever it takes to make it happen. And I think that can be result in either really positive or really negative reactions. I also think it's really easy to have it fall into a relational place, that it's Dr. Greer versus Anna or particular board members. And really, I think when I look at the way the board falls out, I look at our work and kind of attempts to ask critical questions and to have good, unbiased evaluations of the big picture things that we have voted to put in place or attempt, like Apollo 20, the Effective Teacher Initiative, our Literacy Initiative. One of the hardest nuts to crack in public education is teaching all kids how to read and think critically. And as a board, there are some of us that really want to unpack everything kind of as it's happening in a more critical way, and there are others that have, I think, more faith and want to see it to the other side before they start asking those questions. And I think you can look at it HISD specific, or you can look at it kind of government bureaucracy specific. And so Dr. Greer the board voted to extend his contract through 2016 with an automatic rollover to 2017 unless they decide to act differently. And so I'm kind of taking the position that he's our district leader, and the best thing for me to do is to figure out how to work with him and to be really clear with what I support, what my concerns are, and how I convey and communicate that to him and my other colleagues.
I'd say of the initiatives you mentioned, I'm probably Apollo 20 is the biggest. Well, it's the biggest. I mean, it's ambitious in its scope. It's also potentially very expensive, and the results are still to be determined.
Right.
What are your current feelings about Apollo 20? I mean, do you think this is working?
I think there are pieces of it that are working. I think that we were able to confirm that if you can provide specific high dosage tutoring, that you can show an increase in test score gains among kids. And I think that those test score gains can be significant of other things happening with the kids. I don't think that we've shown whether or not those gains are maintained over subsequent years. I think when we set out on the Apollo 20 journey, it was about turning around failing schools. One of my concerns is that the schools have consistently lost enrollment, and what we're doing to communicate out what's happening or not at those schools isn't having the result of drawing kids back into them. The way we fund our schools, you have to have a fully enrolled school to have a healthy, robust budget so you can offer not only the core academic functions but all of the other things that make a school a vibrant place where kids are willing to do the hard work that it takes to learn academically. Not all of our kids are just, you know, gleeful about learning algebra like I think you might have been when you were in school, but you know, those are my concerns about it. It is very expensive. It's very expensive to offer high dosage tutoring. I would like to see all of the various analyses that Roland Fryer, Harvard Ed Labs, Blueprint Schools agreed to provide the HISD Foundation and the school district, and then have us be able to go through a critical examination and conversation as a board about what aspects of it we continue and how we strategically deploy those functions of Apollo 20. And it just seems to be a really difficult conversation for our board to have, that when we ask the tough questions, there's a perception that you think the program is bad or wrong or shouldn't have even been attempted at the outset. And that is not at all the rationale behind the question.
Yeah, obviously everyone wants it to work. It's just a matter of whether whether it will be. I mean, the other big thing right now that the HISD is undertaking, of course, is construction. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had a big bond issue pass last year, and so there's going to be massive amounts of building and rebuilding and you know, redesigning schools, some new campuses, some, you know, renovated. How's that going?
I think it's going well. I think it's been frustrating for some people because we've started awarding architect contracts. We've started awarding construction manager at risk. Where last night we approved groups of businesses to do air quality audits and all the functions that will allow us to have LEED certified buildings. I think anytime you're handing out contracts and work, there's going to be winners and losers. And I think there's been frustration on the part of some people about who has been awarded jobs. From where I'm sitting, it looks like it's been a pretty fair process. We've yet to see any final plans or groundbreaking. Hopefully that will all start by the middle of next year, and I see the work happening. We have a very active department committed to finishing up our 07 bond work and getting started on the buildings that we can start on. The buildings that are going to be, the schools that are going to be located at different locations than where they currently are, I think will be our first buildings to see go up and get completed so we can move those kids out and then use the spaces for staging or moving other kids so that we're not having to build whole temporary schools like we have done in the past. It's going to require continued diligent oversight. Like I said, we have $1.9 billion worth of work to pass out, and people are eager to participate and partake in it. I think largely for all the right reasons and want to see the money go back into our economy. It's a huge undertaking. And yes. So...
And the new ethics rules will come into play with it too.
They will. And there's all kinds of campaign finance rules that are part of our new ethics policy that we're seeing put into effect for the first time during this election cycle. And I think the board has to be diligent about making sure that weights used to determine whoever the best provider is going to be are accurate, that when we have evidence of a vendor not living up to the agreement, they're not the first person to get handed the next job. And I definitely see the administration being responsive for the board's desire to see it function that way.
Okay. North Forest ISD has been annexed by HISD. That was kind of a long, drawn-out process.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things that amazed me in reading about this is that in previous such annexations, there's been a couple, one up in Dallas in particular, there wasn't any real tracking of the students that got annexed, and so nobody really knew 5 years down the line if it was for the best or not. So, first of all, is HISD trying, you know, with, does HISD have access to the data it needs to be able to track the North Forest students, and what is your expectation of how, or and hope for how this goes?
So, I think we definitely have the ability to track those kids. I don't know, and I think we're still learning every day how intact the North Forest records were on the kids, so it may be a clean start for when they came into our system. Going forward, I've been pleasantly surprised by how smooth the transition with the start of school has gone. We've had an increase of enrollment. The surrounding districts to North Forest allow open enrollment, intra-district open enrollment, and kids have come back and enrolled in the schools now that they're under the HISD umbrella. You know, when push comes to shove, we'll see if this was a good idea, if we actually make an educational impact on these kiddos. They come in with lots of challenges. The HISD schools that abut the North Forest area have some of the very same challenges. And I think we're diligently trying a variety of different things to increase those kids' educational outcomes. I'm a big believer in the quality of the teacher and the campus leader rather than a specific program being that the most effective lever. It is where we are. You know, I think we're trying to make a transition too in how we view North Forest and as a part of HISD and changing the way we talk about it. But I think from what you said, we can't just have it become this part of us and we're not really aware of the impact we're making on those kids that became a part of the district.
2 years ago, as you know, the legislature cut a bunch of money from public schools. Mm-hmm. This past session, some of it was restored. You know, from a financial perspective, where is HISD compared to where it was 2 and 4 years ago? Has it been made whole? Or is it close? Are you hanging on? what's the financial picture as far as the legislature's contribution goes?
So, as we went into our budgeting process at the beginning of the year, we did not know how much money the legislature was going to return to local education agencies, and really had the perception that they weren't going to refund what they took away. When it was all said and done, we had a projected operating deficit to maintain exactly what we did the year prior, which included major cuts at the campus level of $50 million. With the money the state gave back to us, we were able to meet that deficit and make ourselves whole. That said, we did not restore the money that was cut from our per unit allocation. We were not able to restore that. We cut about, in the end, I think close to $200 per kid. That's actually pretty complicatedly doled out on a weighted allocation formula, depending upon challenges that kids have when they come to us. And so, no, I would say that the state has not made us completely whole. I think they made an effort. I think it's interesting that there was a delay again in the lawsuit.
It's going to happen again in January now.
You know, I'm pretty confident that the money they refunded was part of the reason why we've been allowed to kind of drag it out even longer. You know, I don't really think we know if we're spending adequate amounts of money on public education. The way government accounting and budgeting works, it's really hard to see exactly where and how every dollar is spent. There's a guy named Mark Hurley out of Dallas who's proposed, and I think you may have written a blog post on him, proposed a different system of reporting accounting for school districts, and nobody's really seized on it and let him dig into their financials and report out according to his system. It's something I'm really curious about. I think it would be interesting for us to maybe say, here's our data, you know, plug the numbers into your system and let's see if it gives us better information on how we spend our money. I think we need more money at the campus level in HISD for sure, across the board. We have a really interesting, hard to follow system of funding programs. Magnet schools get chunks of money. It's not consistent across programs or across kids. It has been allocated at different times during the district's history when they may have had a little extra fluff or not. We have other magnet programs like Helms Elementary in District 1 that do not get any extra money in their budget, but they draw kids from outside of their zone. And their dual language program is a big attractive prospect for parents. So I think there's work to be done both within our organization with the dollars that we have on how we spend our money, how much of it we keep at central office, and how much of it we make sure goes straight to the campuses. So schools have enough money to actually serve the kids who are enrolled on their campuses. I don't know if that gives enough detail. It's really complicated.
It is.
And if you don't, you know, we hear people complain they don't have a full-time nurse on our campus. Well, if we cut $200 per kid 2 years ago, they need to make sure they have all the critical teaching functions covered. And then they have this whole other host of things they want to offer kids. It's really hard for the principal to decide how they're going to spend those limited funds. And then we're handing out money according to Apollo 20 or according to another formula that was based upon how many kids didn't pass the math or reading star test. And so, you know, I'm all for a very rigorous evaluation of our budget, pooling a lot of those programs that we fund that way and spreading them out across our campuses. I'm also a fan of a really honest look around schools, we may need to consolidate because they're just so small. It's hard to fund and have a healthy operating budget at those schools. I think it needs to be done with the input of the community. I think we need to be really transparent with the data, and we have to have the courage to allow a timeline where communities can digest the information and actually be a part of the process of whatever that new iteration of schools looks like.
The other major thing that the legislature did this session was make changes to graduation requirements and testing requirements. What are your feelings on the changes from, you know, like House Bill 5 in particular, which had to do with the graduation requirements?
I'm concerned. I think there's, I think the intent was interesting. I think kids need to have flexibility in courses they take in high school. But when we have so many kids, especially in an urban district like HISD, who are not being successful in college and career level classes, I worry that the highest level of math that there's going to be any kind of consistent measurement on is Algebra 1. The highest level of science is biology. You know, essentially, my son, who's a junior, has completed all of his requirements. I'm not worried that he's not going to get, you know, the academics he needs through graduation. We know how to support him, what to look for, what to ask for. Counselors are overloaded. There's a whole process in that graduation path and diploma selection that requires a sign-off by child, parent, and counselor. And a lot of our schools, and this is not just in HISD, are not staffed to perform that function. I really worry about the impact it's going to have on our low-income kids. When we don't have schools staffed, we don't have the upper-level applied mathematics courses in place with curriculum that really are offering an accounting class or a non-engineering calculus track math class that is as robust and rigorous as you and I would want our children to have in high school. So I think local education agencies, again, ISDs, have a lot of work. We need to partner with each other to provide those curricula so that kids are getting what they need. I think, again, the intentions are good, but when you get down to practice and you have kids that aren't prepared when they get to high school, how we're going to deal with this much more complicated system is yet to be seen.
Okay. Schools have come up in the mayor's race, as it did 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Realistically speaking, what can the city of Houston or the mayor of Houston do to affect schools in a HISD schools in a positive way?
Well, you know, I think there's, in other large cities like ours, we've seen mayoral control over school districts, appointed boards, appointed superintendents. We've also seen that all of that is, again, at the pleasure of the electorate, because when they turn over the mayor, there can be a whole turnover in school administration. I think in Houston, you know, the city provides lots of functions that can support kids and families and school systems that we can't really afford to provide ourselves. Having good communication, partnerships around libraries. The city is making investments in libraries. Lots of them are right next door to our schools, making sure that we're having conversations so we're not overlapping services, or they're providing services that can supplement and augment what happens in the schools. I think all elected leadership should, you know, have good communication skills. They can point out gaps they see to us and vice versa. I think the mayor has a whole host of responsibilities that are under that office's purview, and I think it has to be a partnership. I don't think it's the mayor's responsibility to oversee or regulate what we do, but I do think it's important that we have really good communication and there's a support function there.
There will not be a ballot item this fall to increase property taxes to pay for a universal pre-K program. But I suspect that that movement isn't over, that mm-hmm. it will come up again. You know, what was your view of that? Would you have supported it? And if not, what would you want to see done differently?
Well, I've already made some probably controversial quotes in the paper about that. It really wasn't to provide universal pre-K. I think I wanted to see more clarity about what it was the Early to Rise program was actually proposing as, complicated and with warts and all elected representation and oversight is. I think it's really important to have that oversight over taxes and money that comes in through taxation. I had concerns about how the Harris County Department of Ed, which was being used as the taxing entity, would be involved in that oversight of how the money was going to be spent. I'd like to see a real clear plan and budget and understanding so that there could be, again, some measurement on the outcomes and impact of that program. I think we all know we need high quality early childhood programs, especially in an urban area that has so many low income kids whose families don't have the ability to provide it. I agree with you. I think the conversation will continue and hopefully develop into something that people can support, and that there's better communication between the leadership about exactly what it is being proposed.
And when people go to vote this November, why should they vote to give you a second term in HISD on the Board of Trustees?
I think I take this job incredibly seriously. I have invested my mind, my heart into the work, and I have the time and the ability to continue it for another 4 years. I think we've put a lot of things in motion that I have a very granular understanding of that are not finished, and I would like to be able to just continue that work without taking a break. I don't think I've served on the board too long to be able to have a critical eye and be a voice of the public who've entrusted me with having that oversight. And so that's why I think I'm the right person to be the District 1 trustee for another 4 years.
Anna Eastman, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Thanks, Charles.